Tonight, we seem like we're a little bit weak in our body, but that's all right. It's not I guess we went last night and traveled quite a bit, but it's tonight it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. And yes, good to worship Him tonight. I feel that the Lord has bore a message on our hearts tonight, and I'd like to be able to halfway deliver it the way that I thought last night. We preached on the Lord's Prayer and how that there's 7 points to that prayer. Now, it was during the Sermon on the Mount, and I told them last night at the church, I said, I don't believe we could ever do justice to the Sermon on the Mount, but that's in the Word of God, and we want to preach on that. But I thought tonight, if you got your Bible, I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and go with us there in the Word of the Lord. I want to go a few different places tonight in the Bible, and I feel like teaching a little bit at first and going into the message, because I like to say tonight, if you don't get the first part, you may not get the rest of it. So I want everybody, if they can, to listen to what I've got to say tonight, but what the Lord's got to say. Amen. It's all about, don't let me get too loud, you turn me down back here. If I do, Brother Jerry, sometimes we get a little excited about the Word of God. But Isaiah chapter 49, and that's where we'll be reading that first. But I feel like preaching a message tonight called The Standard, The Giant, and You. Amen. I want to say it again, that way we nobody misses what we're trying to get across. It says The Standard, The Giant, and You. But I thought tonight this is going to be a message where I feel in my heart how we've got to get past the first part first. And I feel like the first tonight that we need to start on the standard. Amen. Isaiah 49, some of you have already made an assumption of the direction that we're headed, but I don't know if we understand where we're going quite yet. But hopefully I can get it where we can see the way that what the Lord has revealed to my heart tonight. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I thought it many times. My wife, she makes clothing, and she gets us something called a pattern to make it with. Sometimes she'll cut it out and it won't be quite right. Amen. So she got to go back, Sister Shirley, and she's got to cut it again. Amen. But I thought she had something to go by, something to look to. But tonight, I want to preach on the standard. Amen. Before we go any farther, I want to take us back in time how the world of prophets was speaking in. Amen. About 712 B.C. In the Word of God, when the prophet Isaiah began to speak these words about 712 B.C. Amen. Oh, glory to God. 700 years before Christ was ever born. Here's a prophet coming to the land. Oh, glory to God. And he's speaking of something. Oh, glory to God, that's going to come in the years to come. Oh, God. And here, amen, I want to take us here to 712 B.C. They had something in the war. Brother Bill talking about an army. On a night, I'm glad to say that I'm part of an army. Amen. I'm glad to say that I'm part of an army. Oh, God. I'm glad that one day the Lord saw fit to come and draft me. Amen. I'm going to use the wrong word. He didn't draft me. He grafted me into this army. I didn't deserve to be here. I didn't earn my spot on the battlefield. But he found me. I'm worthy because I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Am I the Lord God? And tonight, a church, they had a standard in the army of the Jews and all the armies of the land in that day. The Jebusites, the Amorites, the Philistines, and the Jews. They all had an army. And in every army, they had something called a standard. Amen. I hope I can preach this the way I feel tonight. They had something called a standard. Oh, God. And the years of standard, it was about 18 or 15. I want to slow down so I get this out right. Amen. It was a piece of cloth that was about so many feet broad. Amen. So many feet tall.
saints. He promised his life that he would hold the standard. Amen. But here, I want to show us some things of it, what it was standard would do. And the second thing it would do, it kept the army together. It kept them in unison. It kept them working hand in hand. Because they was all looking to the same thing, the same sign, the same pole, standing about 18 feet high in that battlefield. I may be bloody and sweaty. I may be tired from the battle. But I look at that standard and I know that there's somebody holding it up. Oh, God. I hope I can get this across. Amen. It may not be going where you think. I might not end up where you think I will a lot. But I hope I can end up in the right place. Oh, God. And would hold the standard up right in the middle of the warfare. And you know something else that the standard did? It identified who they was. Remember the Amorites, they had their own nice standard fixed. And it had a symbol on it that symbolized who they were. Amen. And the Jews, they had a standard and it had prints on it. And everybody that seen it, the standard held up. They may have been hundreds of yards away. Brother Bruce, they could look across the battlefield and they may not have seen faces. They may not have seen anybody. They saw a standard that was being held up across, and they just firmly said, that's the Jews. That's them Jews. You got to look out for them. That's them Jews.
Amen. Another thing that did is it constituted honor.
And it gave them a reason to fight. Them warriors, before they went out to battle, brother, amen, brother Pat, they would look at that standard. And it motivated them to fight. How many, and there were no lie, we got folks in here that served in the military.
What they would hammer in your head was the American flag. The honor that is in the American flag.
And I'd like to preach something tonight that constitutes more honor than even the great country that we live in. That's being a citizen of a country whose builder and maker is God, whose man's hands has never labored to even touch. Oh, but God's performed it. God sent his son so we may be a part of a brotherhood, a made joint heirs of the man called Christ.
I hope I can preach the standard first tonight. Amen. It constituted honor.
Hey, we'll look at it, and I mean it made them want to fight. Amen. I even was in sports. I was in baseball. And I look at my jersey, and I say, oh, I'm an Eagle. I'm an Eagle. They play the song, and we look at that jersey. I'm a Leslie County Eagle. I'm ready to play now because I'm playing for honor, not for my honor, but for the honor of my alma mater. I'm glad tonight that I've got an alma mater called the Almighty, the Almighty Savior, the Almighty Redeemer, the Almighty Son of God, who is above all and through all and in us all. I'm saying tonight, oh God, I'm glad that we've got an identifier.
Amen. I've told us what the standard was in 712 B.C. What it was. I mean, they were ready to fight.
The first thing they got rid of the standard, here he is. He's a holding up there, marching out. Everybody's looking in. They're ready to fight. I hope you're ready to fight tonight. Amen. Not with me, but with an army that is warred against the church of God from the very beginning of time.
Amen. You know, Satan caused a division in the beginning of time, a separation between God and man. And God has longed to be with man ever since the beginning, when sin was brought forth into this world. Amen. But therefore, to bring them back together, to bring them together, he sent a standard. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Isaiah 49. I want you to go to verse 22. This is very important. I want to start, and I hope we understand what a standard was in the Bible. They'd hold it up. They'd look at it. They would direct them. It would guide them. It would tell them what to do. Amen. And show them. Isaiah 49 and 22. That's 700 years before Jesus has ever born in this world some odd years. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Amen. I'm glad that God sent his standard to come and lift him up. Amen. To a bunch of Gentiles that never deserved him. Now, I always said here, I want us to get this tonight. Behold, I lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. Amen. Chapter 59 of Isaiah and verse 19. So they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. Now, I want you to go to St. John. Let me read while you're going to St. John, chapter 3. Amen. When the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. St. John, chapter 3. Amen. And now, this is 730 years later. Jesus is walking here, and he's preaching in the present world. Amen. And here, John, chapter 3. Is it be all right if I said I got a revelation on John 3:16? Amen. If you don't know what it means, read the verse before it. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I want to back up to verse 14. As Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. Glory to God. John chapter 12. I want you to go. I want you to listen to this. This is the Bible tonight. Amen. The most important book that's ever been written. John chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus talking again. 33 AD said, and I, how many knows it in the beginning? Moses, he said, tell them that I am. I sent you to go deliver the people. And here in 33 and verse 32 of St. John, he said, and I, if I be lifted up, from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Oh God, I believe it answers a question of what the standard is. It's not a pole anymore. It's not a big stick anymore. I'm holding up a sign. It's the Son of God who was lifted up between heaven and earth. And I believe that Jesus is a standard. He is the sign that describes who we are. He is the director of our past. He is the man who shows us and guides us and teaches us and redeemed us and made us a part of the army of God. He is the standard. It's obvious. He said, I'll set my standard up to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Me and you. How did we ever become a part of the church? How did we ever become a part of an inheritance that we didn't belong to? Because Christ came. He must be that standard. Now I told you. Now I hope I get that across just right. He said, if I be lifted up, he was lifted up. Just like the standard in the Old Testament. The Son of God, who was sinless, who no guile came from his mouth, hung on Calvary's hill, hanging between heaven and earth, and everybody was able to behold him. Oh God, and through him, by the death of one man, a life was given to generations after generations of a cause. He is the standard. I'm telling this church, there's nobody else to look to, nobody else to turn to, nowhere else to go. The
months we're going to preach on the standard of the giant and you. I feel like I'm going all over the giant. I feel like we know what the standard is. There was a time that King Saul was a mighty warrior. I mean a great man of God. But I believe that come a day when the Philistine army arose against the army of Israel, and they came many people looked to Saul because he was so big, he was so mighty, he was so strong. I said they erred in their way because they looked to a man and depended upon a man for their salvation. I believe tonight, amen, they looked at him because he was big in stature. He was the greatest fighter of all the army. But they came an army called the Philistines.
Tonight, oh God. I said head and shoulders Saul wasn't able. But I'm glad that David knew about a standard. Oh God. He knew about a pattern. That pattern was not laid by man. It was not a code of ethics that was written by his ancestors. It was something that was spoke about by the prophet Isaiah, who said there will be a tender branch arise up and graft in the wild olive branch of the Gentiles. He'll be a King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, of the Prince of Peace, of the Almighty God, of the Redeemer of the world, of the Righteous Savior. And I'm glad to say today, He is my standard, and He is the standard of the Church of God. I'm saying the church today, we need to realize what the standard is. The battle's great. I mean, we're big defeated. You say, I ain't defeated. Why are you so sad? Why are you so discouraged? I tell us, church, we need to realize what the standard is and let it rally us and stand again and say, we are the church. And we are the church. This is a standard that will never be broken. This is a standard that will never be burned. It one time went down, but it rose again. Never more I'll be removed from its place. Oh, the Bible said that it's seated under the Father and sat down at the right hand of God. That's my standard, sitting at the right hand of God. And you know what he did? He sat down. Why? Because his work was done. Amen. It is finished. He cried. Help me preach the standard tonight, God. Amen. Amen. here. All of the army was looking to Saul. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. You know what they all did? Every single one of them shook in their arms, terrified. And there across the valley, there stood a giant that was mocking the church, that was mocking the army. I'm going to tell you today, there's a devil today that's laughing at me and you. He's mocking me and you because we're looking unto men for help. Hey man, there was a man that lay by the pool of Bethesda. One day the Lord came by. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Every time the Lord comes, that angel comes, that troubles the water. I have no man to help me." I believe that man, I was looking to the wrong thing. He should have been looking to the Redeemer of the world. Because when Jesus came by, he said, "Take up thy bed and walk." He is the standard of life. Oh God, help me preach this. Oh God. And here, amen, Satan's mocking me and you. Because we're so discouraged. Amen, he's mocking me and you. Because we fail to realize that the standard is still standing up. Square our shoulders as men and women of God and say, "My standards will never be broken. You might break me, but you won't break my standard." And my standard's not a tradition. My standard's not a rules or laws made by men or doctrines or commandments of men. Because the Lord said in the book there, he said, "Touch not, taste not, handle not after the doctrines and commandments of men, for they come with perishing. It brought death, but my standard brings life. And your standard in Christ, it won't bring death. It'll bring life every time. And not only every time, but life with a bruise everlasting." I said, Jesus is who we ought to look to. Sometimes we compare things to other things in this world. I've got a certain truck that I love. That's the standard truck. You know what else will do? I've got a standard food that I like. Nothing else will do. Amen. And I compare everything else, I compare to that. I hate to say this, but everybody's cooking, I compare to my wife's. Amen, mommy. I used to compare to yours. Amen. But I've been with her long enough now I can compare everybody else into hers. But I would like to say tonight that my wife's cooking is a standard cooking for me. And I compare everybody else's cooking. I compare everybody else's gravy to Heather's gravy. I compare anything else to what she does. Amen, as far as food goes. But I'm glad tonight that I've got a standard in a spiritual life that I can compare everything else to. And nothing in this world will everything fails in comparison to my standard. Oh God, why was Israel afraid for? Brother Bruce, I believe they was afraid because they compared the giant to themselves. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10, it says they had compared themselves by themselves. Church, we compare ourselves up to the giant, too many years, too long.
why they was afraid? Because I'm persuaded that every Christian in the room tonight is in a battle. Every one of you. And me too. Every young Christian, every older Christian, every seasoned man of God, every prophet, every preacher, every teacher, everybody that's saved on the sound of my voice, I will assure you one thing. You've got a giant out ahead of you, and he's mocking me and you even as we speak. Hey, man, but you know what I like to do? And the devil says you can't. I have to look back over the valley there. Oh, God. And say, oh, Goliath of Gath. Hallelujah. I know I'm little. I know you're big. But I've got a standard in Jesus who is mightier, who is greater, who is stronger than any other that's ever been. And the Bible said in Isaiah there, I believe it was, it said in the year that King Uzziah died, amen, I saw the Lord in the spirit. He was standing in the temple. Oh, I believe he said he was sitting high, lifted up. You know what it is today? He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Bible said that his train filled the temple. You know why it filled the temple? Because I'm going to go back to 712 B.C. Every king back then, when they won a battle, they cut something off of the enemy and they attached it to the train of the king. I was sewing on another battle won. I'm sewing it on. I will sew every battle into the train of the king. And oh God, every battle, every time the king won a battle, they jerk it down and sew it on. And here the Bible says, oh God, here stood King Jesus. High lifted up. And it said that his train filled the temple. That shows me that he's won every battle he's fought. He's never lost. I'm not one time as Jesus ever bowed his head and lost a battle. They thought they won victory when they killed him. But little did they know how they just lost the greatest war that was ever fought. That was the warfare for eternal life and redemption through Christ. I say tonight that he is my standard. Why is he your standard? He's never lost a battle. He ain't never discouraged. He's always kind. He's always loving. He's always caring. He's my redeemer. He's my love. He's my God. And he's my friend. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's the love of my life. I thank God tonight we've got a standard. He said, I saw him high and lifted up. Once again, there we find Jesus. High and lifted up. He didn't look. Now, Uncle Joe wasn't there with him. It was Jesus. High and lifted up. He won every battle that he fought. Every battle. I'm glad that I've got a standard tonight that is never lost. That is never lost. And those that have looked to him have never lost a battle. You know, Israel was defeated before they even started the fight. You know why? Because they weren't looking to the standard. They weren't looking at it. They weren't thinking. Now, I preached a little bit on a giant. I don't want to go a step further. They came a little shepherd boy by the name of David. Oh, God. You might be David tonight, I don't know. You might be David. Oh, God. I hope there's some Davids in the house tonight. Oh, God, I hope we can find some Davids in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Let me in. Oh, God. David knew he stood out. He said in the book of Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Check. some Balkans. He said, what's going on, boys? I'm looking for some babies tonight. I'm looking for somebody that will look to Jesus, I'm the author and the finisher of their faith. I'm not the author. I ain't got a letter in it. I'm your people say I'm writing my own book. Oh, God. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Oh, God, and I. But I'm saying, David, he went out. Sold out, amen. Oh, it's so bad. Look at time. Oh, ain't nobody coming to church. It's so sad. I can't hardly make it. I'm down and out. Ah, Lord. Somebody I'm calling me on time. Look to your standard. He loved me on time. Let me rephrase that. Look unto Jesus. I'm the author and the finisher. Somebody I'm calling me on. Of your faith. Oh God, David. Brother JC looked back at his brothers. And you know what Saul? He called Goliath. He said, he is a giant. And David's brother Shammah and his other brothers looked and they said, oh, it's a giant. It's a giant. Why? And they called it a giant because they was comparing themselves about 5 feet something to a 9 feet tall. Say what he did. He told Goliath. Goliath made his boast, but David made his. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. Goliath said, you ain't even got a sword. Oh, God. He realized how a child was going to provide because he had a standard that was about Saul by the 9 feet 6 inches. Didn't even compare to him. And I believe Saul, but the Goliath's head of the spear weighed 21 pounds. And the coat of mail he wore, I believe it was probably 80 some pounds. And he wore a coat of mail, but he had one spot on him. Hey, somebody said, David got 5 smooth stones. He filled his bag full. Hey, now somebody said Goliath had 4 brothers. I believe he did have brothers because David faced them later on and shambled into. I believe he filled his bag full because he realized how that Goliath had a whole army behind him. I mean, one little boy had fought a whole army. He was ready to tackle a whole army of Philistines. He succeeded, not because he was David, not because his daddy was Jesse, not because his grandpa was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but because he looked up to the altar and the finisher of his faith instead of man, instead of himself, because they that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. I'm saying in our church, he started a swing. He ain't giving a big horse. And when he did, it struck him right there. Then God let him fall. And you know what God did? God let David keep his promise. He took the last sword out of his sheath and he cut his head off. You know, many times our giants raised back up because we didn't cut their head off. We were too satisfied with them just laying there. And they got back up on you. And I was telling you, it was the sword of the Spirit. And I cut their head off. Oh, God. But David looked. And you know, a few years later, I want to try to close here directly. Heather will come get us a song. I said I wanted to preach on the standard. We realize the standard is Christ now. He said, if I be lifted up. And then Isaiah, he said, I will lift, raise up my standard. He said, when the enemy comes like a flood, I'll raise up my standard. I wonder what that was. I did. I'll raise up my standard. That ain't a shield. That's somebody called Jesus. That's risen up. How do you know that, preacher? Because Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. He was being stoned. And when he was stoned, remember the scripture in Isaiah, when the enemy comes like a flood, I'll raise up my standard. You know, when Stephen was about to die, he looked up and his countenance changed because he wasn't looking and comparing himself to his enemies. I have been guilty of that path so many times. I compare my stone to myself. It's bigger than you tonight. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. But that's not the point. You can't even acknowledge how big it is. Because David didn't. He said, who is this? Who does he think he is? I'm a child of God. Well, you ain't got the right. I don't care what your last name is. You're a child of God. Born by the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. And I want to tell you something tonight. Hey, amen. You know, David went for a number of years. And Saul rose up against him because he realized that David was coming up in his stead and that God had anointed him to be the next king of Israel. Because Saul, he got kind of stuck on himself because he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He tried to prophesy one day out of the will of God, and God said, nuh-uh, I'm done. I'm going to raise up a new king. And here come David fighting all these giants, killing armies. People begin to sing songs and say, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed tens of thousands. Saul began to get envy in his heart.
He desired to kill David. And you know, there come a time when David was on the run. Not because he couldn't defeat Saul. Because with one breath of David, one more sling of a stone, head and shoulders, Saul would have fell just off the giant. But David knew that Saul had one time been a man of God, and he would not touch God's anointed. So out of respect and love for God's chosen people, David chose rather to take the low road. Sounds like a Christian to me. Sounds like a Christian to me. David decided to take the low road. So he was a running from Saul one time, and he came to the temple. He had need in many days. Oh God. Running for his life. Does it sound like to anybody tonight? Maybe you're not the David that killed the giant. Maybe you're the David that did kill him, but now you're running. I don't know. Maybe you had a bravery one time, but now you're running for your life. I don't know. And I will assure you one thing tonight, before I close, how the standard remains. He's never moved. He's never went anywhere. He remains where he is, where he was, and where he always will be. Nobody ever eat that before. Shoe bread was reserved. I know I'm teaching a lot tonight, but I feel this in my heart. Shoe bread was reserved for the Levitical priesthood only. Nobody but a Levitical priest could ever eat this shoe bread. But you know, Isaiah had already prophesied that out of the seed of David they'd come a Savior, a preacher of all preachers, a Lord of all lords. So David, they gave him the shoe bread. I believe that was a prophecy in itself, that he took the ministry, the Levitical priesthood, on himself, and that would a priest be born out of him one day. Amen. But that's not all that he did. That's not the main part I want to get to. Main part I want to get to tonight. Unless he said, now, I ain't got nothing to fight with. How many of you did I feel like that? Nothing left to fight with. I've ran, and I can't run anymore. I've got to have something to eat, and I need something to fight with. I'm defenseless. Oh, God. I'm defenseless where I stand. I can't move. A preacher, help me. Oh, God. That priest got love in his heart, and he said, well, David, you know, there was something that the chief of priests wore. It was called an ephod. That was a breastplate of armor with decoration on it that they would wear, the chief of priests. And the Bible said the priest looked back at David and he said, well, he wanted to stir up his pure mind by way of remembrance. How many knows that verse of scripture? He said, well, David, I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. I love the way this Lord has worked this out right. They kept the ephod behind the altar. And he said, wrapped up in a cloth, behind the ephod is the sword of Goliath, for which you slew the giant. So you know where David had to go? Before I get to that, I want to say this. He said, if you want, I want to tell you something tonight. The same sword that you had victory with at one time, the same standards that you had victory with at one time, the same Christ that redeemed you, he's still where he was. Yes. And the priest looked back at David and he said, if you want it. You know what he said back to him? He said, I want it. In other words, because surely there is none other like it. Ain't that beautiful? I like to say them words tonight as a man that sometimes feels like he's running. I want it because
shoulder. I wish that some other David would say that tonight. I wish there's another David that would want to say, I want it because surely there is none other like it. I want it tonight. It is the standard, and the standard is Christ. I want it. So David, brother, he had to go back to the altar, reach behind the ephod, and pull out the sword again. Chief priest. You got a chief priest tonight. It's Jesus. He's got a breastplate. And you can reach right inside his heart through prayer. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible said that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. But it said he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you've come to the right place. You come back to the temple. Just like David. Maybe you're this David. I want you to realize tonight that if you reach, it's still there. That priest reserved it. And I believe when he pulled it out, Bill, yeah. I believe them old men when it started rolling. Looking at that sword, wow. I remember how Christ redeemed me. I remember. I want to tell you tonight, the sword is still here. Goliath is mocking you. Goliath is here again. I want to tell you another giant that we face. I know I've been up here about 50 minutes. I'm going to try to hush now. But you know that the army of Israel faced one more giant later on. Said he was the son of the giant. I'll be probably the son of Goliath. His name, this is going to be funny, his name was Ishbanabob. His name meant a seat at Gath. A seat at Gath. You know the way he come at the army? He didn't come at them like Goliath did. Come and fight me. I'm bigger than you are. Come and fight me. No. That's not how he fought. His name described how he fought. A seat at Gath. You know how the giants that we're facing today, sometimes they may not say, come and fight me. I'm bigger than you. But they're going to say, just take it easy. You ain't got to pray. Just take it easy. You ain't got to seek the face of God. Just take your seat at Gath and it'll be all right. That's his tactic. But you know he was defeated. And I want to tell you that the standard is still there. He's still there. Let's rise up as an army of Christians tonight and say the standard is still there. That man Jesus. And I'm going to look to him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And then let's come tonight. Maybe you're that David that's running. How about running to this altar tonight and realizing and reaching for that sword? You know where you'll find it? It's in the heart of Christ. The sword of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I love everybody here tonight. I want everybody to leave this temple tonight, this house of God, the same way that David left that church that night. I want you to leave tonight knowing that victory is yours, knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you've been redeemed and bought with a price that no man could pay, knowing that you're a child of God that's been blood bought, that you did not earn it, you cannot earn it, it was paid for at Calvary, amen, and it's yours. I want you to know and realize this. As you leave tonight, I want you to reach. But we got to reach for this tonight. Let's come and pray, please. Please come and pray. Please come and pray.